News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Connecting you to politics, solving social issues, and giving you access to the community. It's Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Too much truth. All right. We're back at it. Real quick, Jihad, your question?
Yeah, my question goes back to something she said in the beginning, and I just wanted to be clear. On the contract, she said that the ACLU sued the city of Atlanta.
The Atlanta Public School System,
are you saying that those are actual facts? These are things that happened that we can go back and...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You can... read my article on Youth Today, but you can actually Google this. The Atlanta Public School System was sued by the Atlanta by the ACLU for operating the school, Forest Hill Academy, and the school, the company was paid $7 million a year to run this school of about 400 something students.
And the company that was running the school was in fact a subsidiary of the
It still exists. It's called Community Education Partners. They operate schools all over the country, and they're still in existence now. There's been a lot of resistance to this company, especially when, you know, in light of some people feeling that they have ties to Corrections Corporation of America. But you will see, especially in Houston, they have really waged a lot of fights against this company, because this company has a track record that is, as we see, of operating schools in that way.
And we learned a lot about this. Bottom line, Community Education Partners has been around for a minute. Before, when I was on city council, they came to me and asked could they locate the alternative school in the district, and I told them no. They had already bought a building, and they had to sell it. I told the then superintendent,
are they connected to the prison? Can we prove that they're connected to that major company?
Well, they have a lot of – the founders have a connection One of CEP's initial investors, Tom Beasley, is a former Tennessee GOP leader who also is a founder of Corrections Corporation of America. And since in CCA, Corrections Corporation of America is now the nation's largest private prison.
And here's the thing, Jihad, we got to move because we got a lot of folk, but they operate just like a prison. They had signs over there that said intake. You know, when you walk in the door, you know, because I think part of it is that's the mindset we want to have these students feel that they are in, and we know that's a non-therapeutic community, that it has any number of issues with it, and it's really programming. Let's go to Tim in Atlanta. Tim?
Hey, how you all doing today?
Very well.
Great.
I enjoy the show. I had two questions, and I'm not sure about how it works, but it seems as though some other systems that have different kids, they nurture and cater to their ability to learn. Is it a program in our community that we cater to how we learn, do we learn differently? Because I just like to know, do we do the best thing or put the best foot forward to strengthen and nurture the way that we learn?
Well, I did look into it. There are some innovative programs in Georgia. So far, most of the programs that I've personally been able to look at, most of the ones that were unique, you know, like maybe where they had like innovative approaches, wilderness programs and all kinds of things, a lot of them were not in the quote unquote urban areas. Another thing I did want to highlight are programs that do work. And there's actually a program in DeKalb County where the high school students actually go to school at Georgia Perimeter College, and they actually earn high school and college credit simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So, and the thing that makes that program unique is that it actually caters to students who are at risk for dropping out. So these students graduate and they automatically sophomores and juniors in college. Right. So there are programs that are taking an innovative approach, but some people feel that they are few and far between.
All right, let's go to Farad on line one. Farad?
Oh, hey, both of y'all.
What's going on?
Yeah, I was about to say, A quick thing. The IQ placement is a segregation tool to where they can't personally tell you your child is not allowed in my school. Now they can legally say your child is not smart enough to come to my school. Because I'm a manager for a security company, but we contract to these schools out here, and we are in predominantly white schools and stuff like that. And I can tell you, there are two things that really destroy the public school system in the metro area, just calling a duck, mostly black schools. First, they put this No Child Left Behind, so it'll take the teachers out of the school to where now the teachers are just not trying to teach the kids, but you will pass if you try to learn the subject. And then they take out stuff like recess, PE, and stuff like that.
That's been gone.
Yeah, I know. And once that stuff started leaving, the kids, standard testing and everything is starting going down you have to really challenge these kids' brains and everything
Here's
else.
Here's the thing that I want y'all to begin to think about is the theory I came to a few years ago. This is by design. This is by design. You can't tell me that just basic common sense will tell you. If I got a 7-year-old, I need to allow him to go outside or her, run off that energy. We feed them as early in some schools as 10:30 in the morning. And when we look at what they feed them, I went to a school to do a reading program. They got nachos with cheese, and that's considered a meal of healthy, nutritious value because it meets certain. And we know if you are what you eat, you wonder why these kids are asleep. You wonder why they got that. They have high fructose corn syrup, everything, cocktail fruit punch.
Yep.
It's the bottom line is I've come to the conclusion schools were intended, public school in particular, was intended, because this is the only way you can look at this. This has to be intentional. Any place, appreciate your call, if they have a fail rate of African-American males dropping out at 60% and we have not found a way to correct that, as I always said, if 60% of the dogs die up on high meal at the dog pound, veterinarians would be flown in here from all over the world.
And
if 60% of the patients tonight die down at Greater Hospital, it would be considered a pandemic unlike unto none we've ever seen, and experts would be flown in here. But there's no one sounding the alarm bell for a 60% dropout rate of African-American males in Atlanta public schools and most school systems throughout this state. It's just business as usual. And so if we're not doing anything differently about it, what that suggests to you is that we're satisfied with those results. And I'm saying, coming out of even Black Atlanta, Black superintendent, Black school board, predominantly Black administration, nobody will look at that as being something that is a failure. We'd rather chase down the teacher, talk about she gave somebody an answer. Come on now. Mm-hmm. When we come back, Chandra, we'll let you wrap up. We got two more calls. We'll let you wrap up. Okay. Give us your final conclusions, and then we'll get into a couple of more issues. We'll be back.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Connecting you to politics, solving social issues, and giving you access to the community.
My name is Taylor, and I would just like to say that I really like the show, and I listen to it every day after school, and it talks about important things, and I really like it.
It's Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Too much truth. Y'all get ready. We're going to crank up our backseat rider check-in again real soon. It's going to be time to go back to school in the next week or so. So our backseat riders, because we have our little ones who listen to the show. I got a legion of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old, 13-year-old.
Hey, you got a 7-month-old over here. That's a big fan over here.
And Riley, he is some kind of fella. He's the nice. That's the nicest baby. He hadn't said one thing. He's got auntie fully enthralled.
That's right.
You know, he hadn't said one thing.
That's right.
And that's a wonderful baby. He got on his future Morehouse man, you know, shirt.
Yes, his father attended Morehouse.
Oh, Lord. He must couldn't get in Marsh Brown. I know. They all can't get in Marsh Brown. But that's good. Morehouse is a good school. I love.
Well, I went to Clark Atlanta, so
there you go.
He could go there, too.
And I went to grad school there. So we're going to have to get him a Clark Atlanta shirt.
That's
but
right.
It's a wonderful thing. Chandra Thomas Whitfield, newly married, new baby, and still a very lot of information. Also, you've been following Gennaro Wilson. You wrote about Gennaro.
Another little controversy. I did an update.
That story.
Early in July, and I did an update just, you know, kind of looking at the fact that he was supposed to graduate. He did not graduate yet, but he's on track to graduate from Morehouse College. And
we all know Gennaro was one of the young men in Douglasville, along with five others, I believe,
yes,
if my memory serves me correct, charged with statutory rape, a number of charges that he ultimately would be exonerated and have those charges expunged from his record. And many people don't know the date that Gennaro Wilson was sentenced. I stood beside him in the courtroom. Because on that date, his mother was so nervous, and we had followed that case.
Absolutely.
We also raised the initial money that hired and retained B.J. Bernstein to represent
him. Were probably at the rally that I attended
Douglas at Church, Reverend Cuomo's church.
And that's how I got interested in the case.
We left her a $3,000 check that night.
I remember that. She actually mentioned that to me recently.
I will take the case, and that's kind of how that got started, and then it kind of took on a life of its own. But tell us
what you found. I wrote a story for Ebony Magazine's website, ebony.com, and kind of an update on where he is, his reflections on the case, you know, after these years. And I don't know, there was a lot of negative comments that popped up on the website. Ebony, you're promoting a child molester, you're promoting rapist and things like that, and it ended up being like this really big deal. The editors had to end up submitting an apology. The article is now down, and it was really shocking because he did express a lot of regret, you know, about what happened. So it just goes to show that, you know, it's still a hot topic, still a controversial case. And, he's just ready to move forward.
Well, he's an exceptional young man. And I think one of the things I learned from him that day standing in court, because people did not realize, is that folks, the DA at that time offered him a 5-year to serve sentence. And he requested one thing, and he requested that he be given a first offender kind of status, and that he not be listed as a child on this child sexual predator list. And when they did not agree to those two things, he said, I'll serve the 10 years. I am not going to be labeled as a child molester. I'm not proud of what I did that night. But if people don't remember the case, the young lady who originally brought the charge, the one charge he was found innocent of was the so-called statutory rape of 17, because they looked at that tape and said she was a very much willing participant. At no time did she try to get out.
I think that
was a whole big issue. So he was exonerated of that whole charge.
Well, that was the real issue. There's a lot of misinformation about the case, and that's why I chose to write about it when I did, because no one seemed to really know what happened and who. So a lot of people conflated into one girl, like it's just one girl that was involved, and they say that the girl he was convicted of being molesting, I should say. They said that she was drunk, and he got her drunk, and she was high, and there was all this.
Yep.
But what people don't know is that the 15-year-old did not pursue any charges against him. She said she did not drink. She had no alcohol. No. She had no drugs in her system. So the issue became the Georgia law saying that. And the crazy thing is, from the perspective of a lot of people, is that had he actually had sex with her, he would not have gotten the child. He would not have gotten as much of a charge. So a lot of people just kind of felt issue with that whole side of it, you know, but.
Well, you know, that was hard feelings on all sides, but I think at the end of the day, that young man will go and do great things. Let's go down the list real quick. Keep your comments real tight. We're going to try to work through everybody. Virgil?
Yes. Hey, Derek. A while back, I know a couple years ago, right around the same time the young lady was talking about the computer issue, you know, Jesse Jackson Jr. came out and was talking about how, you know, the Constitution needs to be amended so that every ghetto kid in America can have an iPod and a laptop. And so that all bounces back and kind of plays a part of what she was talking about. Now, to make those connections, we can certainly do so by doing that. But the bottom line is the responsibility of the plight of Black American and our youth has something to do with the leaders that we keep choosing. We keep choosing John Lewis and all the rest of them. They continue to stand in the same seat, not do anything, not produce anything. And then here we are. You know, I think that's a serious conversation we have to deal with. Not only that, we talk about the videos of raising these kids. These kids are seeing videos and things like that and thinking that that's the plight of what it's about. So they're seeing a fast life being presented in front of them, yet and still they've been taught to fail, taught to be in poverty, because there's no other given alternative that these leaders that we so-called look up to has provided.
Here's
even
the thing. Here's the thing. Let's just say John Lewis is no longer the congressman. Do student achievements shoot up? At some point, we're going to have to say we as a community need to value education as much as our grandmama and them did. We wouldn't appreciate your call. We weren't relying on John Lewis, President Obama, nobody else. We were relying on the courage of our conviction and our notion that your grandmama, your big mama couldn't go to school, so your Black behind is going to school. every time the schoolhouse door opened, you're going. And so somewhere we've lost that, and it's just a part of the general return to community that we've got to get to. There's no simple way out of this. Nicole?
Derek.
Yes?
Is that Chandra?
It is.
Yes.
Chandra, I listened to this whole interview, and I didn't realize it was you till you start talking about Gennaro.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't realize how, that's how much I have going on. But, look, I went in there and tried to save the article, girl. I sent people over there to comment, but by then it was too late and crazy, and we were going back and forth, and I was like, Lord, and sure enough, they pulled it. But I don't know why they pulled it, because to me the comments had become even.
Really? I don't know. It was just a lot, mm-hmm. and there was a particular woman who was
she related to somebody?
What I have since learned is this woman has a campaign related to women or girls, mm-hmm. and she apparently has had a longstanding issue with Gennaro to the point that he was on a panel hosted by Tom Joyner like a year ago, and she, you know, mm-hmm. Approached him.
She just need a little shot. She'll be all right.
Okay.
All right, we got to go.
No right. comment.
Let go to Barbara. She need a little shot. She'll be all right. Barbara.
Hi, Derek. How's everybody?
Good. How you doing?
It's a great concern because I'm an educator.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Lorraine Jacquet receiving a call from a woman last year when the
CEP.
Yes, thank you. Long day here.
Uh-huh.
She called to say that she had been hired as a writer of questions for the CRCT, and when they were all hired, they were mandated to write the questions in such a way that guaranteed one-third of the students would fail.
Right.
Also, teachers have a way of goading children and provoking them. Next thing they know, they're in school suspension. I have a neighbor friend that it happens to him quite often,
mm-hmm.
and I've been coaching him with mm-hmm. things that he can do and maybe that his mother can do to step in. And then I talked to you not too long ago mm-hmm. about a student who had been straight-A student
mm-hmm.
all the way through school, third mm-hmm. grade, but he failed the CRCT, and now he had to take the third grade all mm-hmm. over again.
Yeah.
And so over 40 years, like you say, it is designed that this whole system be set up to work against us and set up this prison to pipeline thing.
Yep. And we appreciate you. What we need to do is do like they do at Paideia and Marist and Woodward Academy. They don't have to take CRCT there. That's all they do. Do you know you don't have to take the graduate? You don't have to take the ACT or anything, get in Harvard? They don't have, that's not a mission requirement for them. It's not.
Wow.
Because they understand that is not a measurement of your intelligence. That's a measurement of your ability to guess good or either take a test well. And we know that those are culturally biased kinds of tests. You know, because if I start asking you certain things, you wouldn't be able to answer. We'll be back.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Gilbert Young, and you are listening to the Too Much Truth.
Derek Wilson, right away.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Our special guest for the last hour or so has been Chandra Thomas Whitfield. She's a writer, write for a number of publications, magazines, and have written for a number of newspapers. She's a good friend, founder of Talk Black, one of the premier networking with serious content.
Absolutely.
In terms of, tell us about Talk Black, because that's your baby, as
well as Riley. Yeah, we're actually in a transition phase. I've been handing it off to another fellow, she's a former journalist, Aileen Harris, and Mashandra Smith, who's here with us today, and they're taking it over, as well as some other board members that we have. And we just recently had a discussion. We did what we call grab bag, where you just kind of throw topics into the hat and everyone talks about it. But like I always say about Talk Black, and our website is talkblack.net, and it's Atlanta's premier African-American discussion group. Basically, I say we talk about all the things they tell you not to talk about in mixed company. We actually go after it and choose to talk about it, whether it's politics, religion, sex, pop culture, all the good stuff.
So what are some of the things they've been talking about recently?
Just give us definitely talking about the elections, okay. You know, coming up, because we'd like to give people a jump on that. I told you we did the discussion on the grab bag, which they talked about everything. Last time I remember it was crazy. It went from Eddie Long to Obama, like okay. The last time.
There you go.
And then we did, and then also health. We like to throw in a health topic. And I know you was on our panel when we did the black male discussion.
Absolutely.
In light of your event.
Absolutely.
That you do. That's awesome.
McMahon. Absolutely.
So just everything, you know, everything that you can think of. Mm-hmm. And we're always looking for African-American owned venues to host our event. They have to accommodate us at least 25, 35 plus people, and we do separate checks and all that. So if there's some companies or that want to open up in the that are open in the metro area and want to host, go ahead to talkblack.net. There's a contact us, and you can definitely let us come check out your venue. So we've done it since December of 2003, and outside of like a 6-month hiatus, have never canceled a meeting. And we don't have that kind of budget, if you know what I mean. And we've had every event at an African-American owned venue.
There you go. Tell us, wrapping up this conversation, what do you want us to know before you get out of here? Just tidbits of information
again,
it relates to this issue.
I always have to thank you, Derek, because the opportunity to just share this information, you know, I have a lot of passion. I'm always taking on some project, whether it's mental health, whether it's Hurricane Katrina, and to do this Soros Justice Media Fellowship, to talking about alternative education. What I really want people to take away from it is that we need to take a closer look at alternative schools. We need to take a closer look at the process that our kids are being sent to them. And then once they are out of that school, what is the quality of education that they're receiving? Because I think sometimes we think, oh, those are those people and those are those kids and those aren't, you know, that's not my problem. But the fact is that children of color, poor children, and children with learning disabilities are disproportionately being placed into these schools. A lot of people feel that the reasons that they are put in the school tends to be more subjective than a clear-cut violation of school policies. And we also have to realize that, look at the numbers, 68% of Georgia prisoners have less than a high school education, and that high school dropouts are more likely to be incarcerated than college students. So the reality is, if you don't get educated on the front end, the prison system will likely be your resting place. And I think that we all are concerned about, you know, the quality of education. We have to realize this is a constitutional right to a quality education.
Absolutely.
So my articles, I wrote an article for The Crisis, which is the NAACP's magazine. There's also a trade publication called Youth Today. I did some stuff for National Public Radio, the Atlanta affiliate, and I am continuing to write articles about this diverse issues in higher education. So, again, my website is chandrarthomas.com, and that's chandrarthomas.com. So definitely just take a closer look. And I also want to let you know that the Georgia Appleseed Center actually did a study. So if you want to look at these numbers, and if you want to know your rights in Georgia, you go to the Georgia Appleseed Foundation's website. They have a booklet, a free booklet that you can download and print. And it's called When Your Child is Disciplined in School. And it tells you what your rights are.
Give them that website again. Very important.
It's the Georgia. Let me get the actual official name of it. Unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me, but I know it's called the Georgia. I don't have their website, the Georgia Appleseed Foundation.
Okay.
They are based out of Atlanta.
And we'll find it and post it on our website.
Yeah, and they have this, like, you literally can download this book, and it tells you what your rights are as far as representation, how you can contest these tribunals, your rights are. So definitely we want to let people know that they have rights.
All right, let's try to answer these quick calls. Let's go to Ron on line one. Ron?
Good morning. Oh, good afternoon, DB. I hate I got in late, but she said that a suit was involved at the Hill Street School.
Forest Hill Academy.
I would like to get some COVID information on that. But at Concerned Black Clergy Day, the superintendent was there. And some information he put out there that was different from what was out there before, he stated that cluster schools would be closed to anybody from another community from the south side sending their children to the north side. Today he said that's available if there's room. And then he followed it back up, and he said that if the planning have room in it, so if you have a child, if they have some opening at Grady, but then they plan to have other students coming to Grady later on, then you can't. It seemed like it's a bunch of lies, but the greatest thing that was said, that you have two schools that were on the closing list, one is White and one is Herndon, now being taken over by a school called Cadenza, and they also have a school already at Atlanta Public School in another section of town, which they would be importing people in an African-American community, conducting their school there. I guess they plan to gentrify that community.
Right.
I would like you to give your number very slowly, sister, as far as the website that we can contact you, and what do you think about closing schools in the African-American community, and then turning over to a charter school from outside with students that don't look like the people in that community.
All right, Ron.
Okay, just go to my website, ChandraRThomas.com, and there's a contact us. It will go to my email.
All right, Cliff in Atlanta.
And that's Chandra
Cliff
with the C.
Hey, DB, I tuned in late briefly. I heard that you were talking about Forest Hills Academy and some kind of prison people that was owning Forest Hills Academy. You caught my ear because I do work over there. And I just wanted to... I think I might have gotten the information she just gave, a website and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, go
but
to
I
the.
I was interested in finding out if there's some a place that I can go ahead and read about what she was talking about.
Go
thank
to Chandra
and
Thomas.
Actually,
give me the website again.
My website is Chandra, ChandraRThomas.com. If you go to my website, you can hit contact us, and it'll email will come to me, and I can forward
all
you.
Right.
And Derek, if you like, I can also send a link to the article in the crisis. If you that kind of sums up some of these things.
That's fine. Let's go to Rodney in College Park. Rodney.
Hey, Derek. How are you?
All is well.
Good, good. Hey, listen, I just finished working out of Starbucks and jumped in the car, and I heard this lady's voice, and I kept trying to figure out, who is this? Who is this? So I just wanted to call and say, you ladies sound very strong. This is Rodney, and just want to say hello to Chandra and Chandra.
Hi, how are you?
You know
good,
him?
Good, good.
Chandra is married, Rodney, so stop. stop. Happily married, so stop even groveling. And she's my friend, and her mama is my friend.
Oh, well, good, okay? Good. Again.
And a baby.
Yeah, what a beautiful little baby. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful little baby.
Okay, Rodney, we'll see you, little pervert.
no comment, Rodney.
Rodney sounds like he's a little pervert. Chandra, thank you
just
so much.
Being friendly.
Now, you let me have this. This is pervert.
Well, it was such an honor to share my birthday with you. You know, that's
happy birthday.
I'm just
to
turning 27
you.
Again.
Chandra, thank
every
you
year.
So much for all that you do. Research that's meaningful, not just doing research on the topic and keeping followed up, but keeping us informed. We appreciate you. And happy trails wherever you find or wherever you husband, baby end up. You know, you always got a home here now. You know, you have to come
absolutely
back.
I always have a good time, and I love your producer. She's fun too. We always
absolutely
have a good time in here.
All right, Sean, thank you so much. When we come back, we'll give you instructions what we need you to do to help the Cullens family one more time. We'll be back in a moment. Rodney, you're not pervert. I'm just kidding. You're just dirt old man. That's all. We'll be back.
Hey.
Oh, when you're guilty, you know it is already written on your face. You might as well just go and admit it. 448-922-2703. Hey, look. This is what I got going on. We're just about finished with the house for Ms. Cullens and her family. I need three guys that meet me tomorrow or can meet me at the house. Call me, hit me on Facebook. Around noon tomorrow, we need to do a little more things, pick up a few pine straws around the house and get the backyard ready. And so I need somebody to come help out with that. If you can, if you got some time tomorrow, or if you can come before then, I can just send you over there. Hit me at db1380@gmail.com, db1380@gmail.com. If you got an hour or so, it won't take but an hour, two or three guys working. As early as 10 o'clock, as early as 10 o'clock tomorrow, if you can be out there and help me. Also, I need you to go and make donations. We are spending, you know what, I didn't realize when you're talking about 12, a family of 11, that's 11 beds. I went to, what is it? What are your place called? Said Walmart, and had to buy the bed in a bag for 11 beds. When I left and walked through the Walmart and said, how much? You know, I said, isn't it a blessing just to be able to have the money to buy? Because you don't think little things like that, you don't think about. I know Chandra got a little Riley, and so you didn't even think about it. Now, what if you had 11 of those at one time? You know, but here's, I know, right? So I'm like, that's 11 sets of linens, you know, 11 pillows. We didn't even things you don't even think about. You know, got to have pillows, you know, all kind of towels and dish rags, plates, and it's a whole nine. So I want to thank all of those who gave, who came out, Cliff, and I don't want to call names because I'm going to forget somebody, Terrell. And Mike from Reside Furniture, who've been out there two, three times. My sister Vicky came out, stayed to 11, you know, washing dishes, and so many others who've been through there. So we appreciate all of you all. We hope to put some keys in this in Miss Cullen's hand by Wednesday. Now we have all other stuff in the house. As a matter of arranging, we're going to make this house a home. But I need you to go so we can buy some of the other supplies this family needs to save our homes with an S, save our homes, H-O-M-E-S, ATL.org. I need for you to put a little bit more money so we can get towels and some of the things they need. SaveOurHomes.org. If you would do that for me today, rush to do it, SaveOurHome.org. I would greatly appreciate it. It will allow us to do some of the things that we need to do for this family. And we're going to keep pushing, pulling, and shoving. It has been magnificent. The number of people who have given went to buy beds, every bed in there, you know, in the back, brand new. And people went and bought, again, Metro Furniture. And we're going to have a housewarming. I'm going to invite all those who have helped over. And we're going to have a nice housewarming and to welcome that family into a not a house but a home. It's a big difference. And so we'll be talking a lot more about that tomorrow. Tomorrow will be 1 week from the election. I'll tell you about the T-Splice. I'm going to get up early and listen to the mayor, my good friend. He's my brother and friend. We have been friends down through the years, but we don't see eye to eye on this one. We ain't going to fall out about it, but we're going to show enough talk about it. I'm going to be working to the last minute or the last second until the polls close to oppose the T-Splice. I think it's bad for Atlanta. It's a bad we don't get enough out of this deal, and we'll tell you much more about that tomorrow. Let's go to Demaine online.
Hey, Mr. Bolton, Demaine. How you doing, sir?
Doing very well. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm cool. I can't complain, you know.
Good.
Yeah, I was listening. Yeah, I was just listening to the conversation that the young lady was talking about, the alternative school situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a comment I want to make real quick, you know. Because, you know, when we say, you know, I just want to give things from a different point of view. Because when we say we're the children of Israel, you know, the house of Judah in particular, mm-hmm. you know, folks pretty much look upon us as we're like we're cuckoo.
Who
you know,
does
but
that?
Listening, you know, not you.
Okay.
But just listen to comments from different callers.
Okay.
You know, I can hear the point of view because I know you got Hebrews like brothers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I listened to the previous conversation, you know, and about our people in the alternative schools and the fact that we're being set up to fail, you know, it only validates what our history book, you know, the Bible talks about. What he said was going to happen to the so-called black men here in America.
Mm-hmm.
No, and no, we try a lot of politics and we do try a lot of economics and education, all that stuff to solve our problems. But the solution to our problems is if we turn, we know some of us don't believe in, you know, believe in the name of Yahweh, but, you know, that's what I believe in. But
mm-hmm.
we turn to Yahweh, to Yeshua, and keep the commandments that he gave us in the first place,
mm-hmm.
then once we get favor with him, then he might let the nation show favor to us. But
so you know, I got to ask one question, Demaine, because we got a couple more people on the phone. Where is the school that is owned, operated, and controlled by your faction of the Hebrew Israelite? Can you give me an address to it?
We do homeschool. It's at...
All right. No. That's all right. So if you're saying that of all of the nation that you want to gather under your banner, that the only way we can get out of this system, because here, let me just say this. I believe you can make public education right. You got to be committed to it. I spent a whole year at Price Middle School when my nephew was there. I took off work, didn't go anywhere. You know what my job was? Was to go into the school every day. I was president of the PTA. I was heavily involved, went up there every day. The teacher knew me. The principal knew me. I eventually shut the school down and made them go and build a brand new school. So you can impact from a public policy. Now, just think about this as a proposition. If all the Hebrews in one community said, we're going to just move right here, and we're going to move right next to Price Middle School, we're going to buy all of the homes around Price Middle School, we're going to bring all the apartments around Price, you would control that school with your own tax dollars. If you want to be a nation, then be a nation and start with two or three blocks, then two or three neighborhoods. You know, that's why I love the Shrine of the Black Madonna, and they have gotten a little bit away from that. But they went over to West End and bought all of that property over there, had apartments and everything, have a, you know, bid the church, then they got something, you know, another piece of property. That's what we got. We got a model. If you're going to wait till the end of the world to come, then bless your heart. I ain't got that long. Booker T. Washington said, cast down your buckets where you are. Make a difference where you are right now. We ain't got to wait till the coming of Yahshua or the coming of, you know, the great Mahdi or whoever we are waiting on. The power to change things is in you. To all of my brothers and sisters, tomorrow we're going to talk about Ramadan. And so to all of my Muslim brothers and sisters who are observing the holy time of Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak to you. And we will examine what all of that means as the Muslim world, 1 billion Muslims worldwide, are fasting until sundown. And tonight,